Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
And welcome to the best technology resource across the country. It is the Data Doctors radio program. You can always jump in at the show, datadoctors.com/radio, or our all-new, well, a week old, toll-free hotline. It's 888-545-1988, like the year we began. Glad you can make us part of your show of the show today. It is the Data Doctors, Brandon and Spanky. Here's what's going on in the world of tech right now.
We suck at social. It's the CEO quote of the week. That plus baked potatoes, lean cuisine, and cell phones. Name two foods and a way to cook them. And finally, Twitter is going mainstream.
Data Doctors radio program.
Google going head-to-head with Groupon.
How could a company like Google go head-to-head with a company like... Oh, wait, Google's a lot bigger.
So for those of you who don't know Groupon, they're the folks who started the craze with, well, with crazy deals, right? The idea here, you get a deal for more than half off, and it's a deal that's so insane that it causes you to try something new. And what really actually ends up happening is that people are just deal hoppers. And the idea for businesses is that you would promote your business by offering a really, really steep discount in order to get some trial. The idea sounds great, sounds good. Google wants a little piece of that action, along with lots of other folks. And, a while back, rumors were that they tried to buy Groupon. That didn't happen. And so they figured, well, if you can't join them, beat them.
And that's a smart thing to do. You know, Google has, as you like to call it, the moat. They have this big moat around their central, product, which is Google.
Right. Well, their whole world is about advertising, right? People, you use them to search, but the reason that they provide you search for no charge and do an excellent job of it is so that you are there, so that those ads that you see at the top and on the sides, right, that those ads can take place. That is their big revenue driver. It's what makes them valuable. It's what makes them money. So, and everything else they do is to protect that.
And so they're supporting that primary business. I think this is a really smart move for Google. I think the only thing I'm concerned about is that Google has never been, they're not a great company when it comes to interfacing with the public.
Yeah, but this is maybe a little bit different. If they can provide a business owner, we have a business here, right? If they can provide us an interface, we already have an interface where we can go in and put in our hours and make sure that we're accurately located on the map and put in cross streets and methods of payment we take, right? And that's all valuable stuff as a business owner. You want that stuff there because you want to be able to be found by people who are out in the world looking for computer service or for shoe repair or for whatever it is you do, right? If you can suddenly now start to provide loyalty and rewards and offers to draw people into your business, and they're providing that platform for you for nothing, I think that's a no-brainer for me as a business, and I don't see how they cannot win at this. They already have my attention as the business owner. They've already got the consumer's attention as the searcher, right? So just provide a platform to let me do Groupon-type stuff, and I think they can win.
So what does it do for me and you other than give us great...
Me and you, the business owner, or me and
no,
you, the
me
consumer?
Me and you, the consumer. Because I already have Groupon. I already have... there's like 500 different services available. Why is Google suddenly going to be better?
Because so with Groupon or with any of the other services, you had to sign up for that service for that sole purpose. And they're still, as big as Groupon is, as big as these services are, it's still a small percentage of the average everyday Joe that's out there. However, the average everyday Joe that's out there, there's a bigger percentage that's searching for, I'm at this physical location and I need this service, this product, this whatever. What's around me that offers that? And that consumer is what Google already has. And so if they can extend deals to those people and let businesses control that, I think they can win.
Okay, so what I've read and understand about their new service offer, Google Offers, which, by the way, launched on Wednesday, is it's supposed to integrate seamlessly with their new Google Wallet, which comes out this summer.
Right, the Google Wallet is that pairing of the smartphone with some mechanism to let you pay with just your phone, not having to pull out plastic or not having to pull out paper, right?
Right. A lot of people, I was talking to some neighbors about this, and a lot of people are really scared of Google Wallet.
I would never trust that. I would never forget that it's Google. They wouldn't trust using their phone to pay for anything, right?
It is the dumbest argument, and I've had this conversation now multiple times, and every time after I'm done, the person shakes their head, and they're like, oh, I never thought of that. If you go to a store, and you have a wallet or a purse, and in that purse you have a credit card, maybe two credit cards, a debit card, you've got your
driver's license,
all of this stuff,
right?
And all of a sudden you lose your wallet, you lose your purse. How much pain do you have to go through as a customer to stop fraud?
Right.
You have to call your bank. You have to call your credit card company. You have to call DMV. All of these places have to be contacted. When you have it on your device, i.e. Google Wallet, it's an electronic device. You can track it. If you left it in your kitchen, you don't have to go, oh my gosh, I got to call these people. I can't find it. It can actually track it down for you.
Right.
You can.
Yeah, people are freaking about losing their phone, but what's the difference between losing that or losing your purse or your wallet or whatever else that contains basically the same stuff, other than you're saying is there's an advantage. If you lose it, in this case, it's electronic. You can shut it down much quicker than the physical world.
If somebody stole it from you, you can get online, lock it down so that they can't use it, and you can wipe it clean. So now you don't have anything to fear. You don't have any of the pain of having to call your bank, call your credit card companies. It's handled with a couple of clicks of a mouse, and it's done. You go out, you buy the new phone, you restore your data, you're back in business.
Now, it sounds really cool, but the catch is in order for it to be successful, we have devices we may want it as consumers, but businesses is the real key here. They have to get whatever it is going to be needed to interface with their systems, right? So imagine you're Home Depot. You've got, I don't know how many tens of thousands of cash registers, and they're sort of computer cash registry things, right, that exist in all these stores all over the country, all over the world. You've got to go back and figure out how to interface with that with some new device, not just the pad that I can never figure out how to sign. I hate that pad, by the way.
I hate that pad.
Can't figure out how to sign them. But you already have that, you know, they call that the signature capture, right? You have the pin pad. You have all these different things. We got to add another device here. As Home Depot, you got to invest in that. That's every business everywhere in order for this to really work.
Yeah.
That's the catch. I don't know if that's going to happen, if that's going to happen quickly.
Google's got the money that they can make that happen for the retailers if they really want to push this. Isis was the first company. If you want to see a cool video of how NFC works for the wallet, we've got a link to it at datadoctors.com/radio. Still ahead, there's a cloud on Apple's horizon. This is the Data Doctors radio program. Brandon, for weeks now, we've been talking about computer problems. You know,
that's all we talk about.
Malware.
Well, and solutions.
Mac malware
now, that's right.
Yes, yeah. And if you've ever had a computer or if you have a computer in your life, you've had a problem with it, you know, but you don't need to be a slave to your technology. These devices exist to make our lives easier, not harder.
Easier?
Yes, much easier, except when you have malware. So when your computer acts up, don't let it screw up your day. At Data Doctors, we've got a team of computer experts that can take your pain away like that.
You can do what my wife does. You just call me.
Yeah, you are tech support. Hey, Brandon, I got a problem.
We offer that.
We can speed up your computer, network your office, show you how to back up your critical data. And if you lose everything because you didn't follow our advice, we can recover that too. With locations around the country, there's a store near you. Go to datadoctors.com and just type in your zip code.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Did you know that in a recent Bank of America survey, they found that 96% of their consumers under the age of 50 use Facebook? In that same survey, they found 100% of them wish they had a different bank.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Solid burn.
It's a rip. You got it once in a while. They're the big bad B of A.
All the big guys always get ripped off, right?
Yeah.
Hey, we're taking your calls at 888-545-1988.
Hi guys, this is Gage. I had a question for you guys. I've been using Twitter a lot lately, and I was wondering about, there's a lot of different ways of posting and sharing pictures on that. I was wondering, is there one better than the other or anything like that? It'd be great for you guys' help.
Okay, Gage, You know, Twitter in and of itself has had TwitPic and YFrog and what other services are available?
There's a ton of photo sharing services, but the problem has always been you can't share directly. You have to have some third party thing. And so you already had a third party app most likely when you were going to post something, right? Think about your smartphone. You've got your whatever it is you're going to use, TweetDeck, whatever. But if you want to take that photo and attach it, you can't just attach it directly. You have to like link into something else where it posts and then it attaches as a link to the thing. And it's just kind of weird.
Which then adds characters to your tweet.
Right. So Twitter decided, let's get smarter. Let's get more friendlier, which is part of their whole move to probably try to get more user base. And they've decided to integrate photo sharing directly into Twitter.
Which is killer. So, Gage, your question is really timely because Twitter is launching this service now, and it's going to be a game changer in a lot of ways for Twitter.
Yeah, they're going to do a couple of cool things. Like, they're going to take some of the most popular photos. So I take a couple of shots, and those shots, like there was a woman this past week who took a shot. She was on a flight from, I don't know where, in Florida to somewhere, and as the flight was taking off, she got some amazing pictures out the window of the space shuttle taken off.
The Endeavor, that's right.
Right. So she got those pictures and she posted them on Twitter just like, hey, to her couple of followers, and that multiplied who retweeted and retweeted. And pretty soon it was like one of the most popular pictures on Twitter going crazy.
She became an overnight sensation.
Right. So pictures like that, things that are fast breaking news that are photo based, because they'll have access to knowing what those photos are and how popular they are and how many they've been viewed and retweeted and all that, they're going to create like a little showcase of the most popular stuff trending right now. So you'll be able to go straight to Twitter's interface, which has never been a great interface, right? And start to see the stuff that's out there. And you might get some ideas for things or might see some cool stuff. It's if news can break faster there than anywhere, so can photos of things, photos of the news, whatever it is.
One of the things that this does is it makes Twitter a lot more accessible to the, let's say, less tech-savvy people. Because Twitter, up until now, hasn't really been a mainstream app. And later on in the program, we're going to talk a little bit more about some things that Twitter's doing to change that. But this makes them a little less on the fringe, because now there's a way for people to kind of have that Facebook-like social experience with Twitter,
right,
which hasn't existed till now.
Yeah, it's been a tough thing for a lot of folks to figure out how to use. And some of the other things they're doing, like Twitter search has always been a little bit weak. You can search things, but it didn't seem to rank well or be relevant always. So they're changing up the algorithms and stuff, and part of their search will incorporate these photos. They're also going to add videos, so you can post those.
But wait, I don't get something about their video service. Users can't upload the videos.
So
what does that mean?
I think what they're starting with is it's content that already exists that you can not link to, but sort of embed, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
And that just you want to share a video. I mean, you see this all the time on Facebook, right? People are sharing their YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's that same kind of idea where it's not native, but the ability to embed it, so not link to it, but embed it's there. So.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to dig into this a little bit more over the next couple of weeks as Twitter goes more mainstream. Remember, all the links to today's program are live right now. Just go to datadoctors.com/radio to find everything we're talking about.
Hey, this week, the head of Google, Eric Schmitz, he said something that was kind of interesting, something you don't hear every day from the head of a company, the CEO of one of the largest companies on the planet. He said, I quote, "I clearly knew I had to do something and failed to do it. CEOs need to take responsibility. I screwed up."
So
I screwed up.
What did he screw up about? He admitted that they're not very good at social networking. When he was asked why he didn't focus more on social networking, he had an even better answer.
Oh, yeah. He started talking about all kinds of different things, and he was kind of going off script a little bit. But he said, you know, we were busy. We were a little crazy.
He was running the empire.
I was busy running Google. You've heard of them before, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But
he also, as he was going off script, that he was somehow talking a little bit sort of offhanded about operating systems and what's secure and what's not secure. And he says, if you really want a good secure operating system, and I'm paraphrasing a touch here, get a Mac. And
I'm sorry. Wait, say that again?
Yeah. Well, apparently he didn't hear they're not as secure as you thought they were.
Okay.
Because there's malware now, right?
But what did he say? Can you? Hold on. I can pull up that quote. You're gonna Macs are more secure.
Macs, well, he said if you want to get a secure, yeah, get a Mac. And so here's the problem with that from the PR department over at Google is they've been working on this whole thing called Chrome OS, aka competitor to Mac and Windows OS's. And yeah, they probably weren't. And it's been touted as it's, of course, the most secure thing out there, which it remains to be seen. Obviously, that's not out in the world yet for consumption. So,
but would you be the R&D guy to have the cojones to go, excuse me, Mr. Schmidt, you just ripped our product, sir.
I'm sure someone flogged him.
Yeah. But I mean, can you imagine the guy in the trenches going, I'm not going to tell my boss that he just threw us under the bus.
He didn't really. I mean, he formally sat on the board over at Apple. The guy knows a few things, has been around Apple products for a long, long time. He's got his, yeah, it was an interesting coincidence that that comes the same week that the Mac malware craze begins, and so yeah.
I gotta wonder where Eric Schmidt's head was in that. But Google isn't stopping. You know, just because he said, "Hey, we screwed up," they're starting to make some changes there that are socializing Google a little bit more, making them better at social.
How are they socializing?
Well, Google has been like the power company. Yeah, Google is just a utility.
You
use it. You know, it's become part of the American vernacular, the worldwide vernacular. Let me Google that for you. Google has been, up until now, not a hated utility, a loved utility, but a utility nonetheless. Now they're trying to get a little more Facebook-like, a little more friendly, and there's some things that they're doing to do that. We'll get into those a little bit further in the show.
Hey, still ahead, can you hear me now?
What?
Verizon thinks so, even if you're 6 feet under, and the funniest con commercial ever. It's an internet sensation.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
All the things we talk about are live right now online at datadoctors.com/radio. And if you have a question for the show, hit us up on our new toll-free line, 888-545-1988, or jump online, facebook.com/datadoctors, and we'll do our best to answer the questions during the show.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Busted!
Bad boys, bad boys.
Bad boys going down.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do when the Mac gets you? So this week, the big news in the tech world.
I don't know if it's big news. It's medium news.
It was medium news in the tech world. Some dude lost his laptop.
Dude's named Josh Kaufman.
Yeah, he lives in San Francisco, Oakland area. Anyway, he had his laptop stolen, and this is where it just gets great. This is the power of social meets technology. And the two merged, and it was like a harmonic convergence of how do you get the bad guy? So Josh had the smartitude.
The smartitude?
Yeah, that's the fortitude and smartness and...
Foresight.
Foresight.
For something.
He had
four score
7 years ago.
Fortnightly.
To install a little app on his MacBook called Hidden. And what Hidden did is Hidden got his MacBook back.
So with Hidden, it's pre-install this thing. That means install it before you install it, right?
Correct. You install it before you install it.
Right. So you put this thing in there.
Correct.
And if you lose or otherwise have your laptop misplaced / taken / stolen, you go online and you activate the locator me service, right? And a couple cool things it does. Not only does it help track down the physical location of where this thing is at, which is cool, it also gathers information, and not just like cross streets of X and Y. It can use the camera built into your laptop and take pictures and videos. And
screen captures of what they're doing with your machine. I mean, the evidence that this sucker gathers is damning. And Hidden will also work with the police to help recover the computer, which is...
like a team of people behind the scenes that'll help make all the legal part of this actually work.
Actually legal. So that then leads us into what we will like to call our featured app this week, which is going to be a Mac app, which is Hidden.
We got to really tone down the Mac stuff. You're out of control, sir.
After last week.
I know.
And the crap on Mac weekend, I needed some redemption. So let's recap how this works. The laptop is stolen. You activate tracking. Hidden then locates your computer wherever it is on the planet. So it could be in Italy. It could be in Asia. As long as it's on the planet Earth and it is connected.
So it's got to be connected online.
Yeah, but who's going to sit there with the, right. with the computer and not...
Bad guy steals laptop. One of the first things he's going to do is go online. I mean, it's what people right. do with laptops, right?
Exactly. Come on. Collects photos of the thief, screenshots of what's going on. They get a lot of other nerdy data that is meaningless to the rest of the world. And then they'll help you track it down, and then they'll call in the police.
The popo. Or do they call in the mounted... what do they call the guys in Canada, eh?
Mounties.
The Mounties, eh?
Yes, or the Federales go
get,
in Mexico.
Go get that hoser who took my laptop, eh?
So, but here's the question in this. Didn't LoJack a couple of years ago come out with like a, I don't know, what was it called? Like a LoJack for laptops
yeah,
or
yeah.
something?
Yeah, LoJack's the company everybody's familiar with that does the similar kind of thing with your car, right? And OnStar has that kind of thing too. And they still have that service. I think it's out there. It's like one of those add-on purchases that happens a lot to people when they're in the store and it's, hey, while you're buying this, why don't you get that? But I don't think their technology is as cool as this.
No. I mean,
taking the pictures and they actually work with the cops to help recover the stuff. And that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I think that if I had a situation where it was stolen, this is the software I'd want to have. And I'm sure there's a Windows equivalent. And so we'll dig into that and make sure we post a link for that as well. So that way you Mac users have one and your Windows PC users have the other.
And we've talked about the stuff to do this with your I whatever device, right? The Mobile Me has that free thing. If you have iOS, I think 4 or higher, you can track down your stuff. And not necessarily for when it's been stolen, but lost in general. So there's all kinds of cool stuff out there that helps you get back what belonged to you.
Hey, and if you miss anything we've talked about during the show, just click over to datadoctors.com/radio, and it's all sitting there for you.
Now, from the Sony Says files.
Put your hands on your hips?
No, Sony didn't say.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Sony says put your hand on your hips.
Okay, now I can say.
Sony says stand on one foot. Sony says wave a dead chicken over your head. Bend down.
And Sony didn't say. Oh, you busted me. But Sony did say that they promised the PlayStation Store is going to be back online this week.
Heard that before.
And isn't it coincidental that they say this just before E3, which is starts Tuesday?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're
going to be there live at
E3. We're heading
on
up on out that thing.
That's right. So, in fact, next week's show, you're going to hear a lot of what went on during E3 because we're going to do a lot of segments for the program during the E3 convention. E3, for those of you who don't know what it is, is a...
It means something. We should probably know that.
Electronic
Entertainment
to the third.
Expo, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a whole gaming convention.
Gaming,
right?
App developers. The new Wii is going to be introduced. The new Xbox. You know, all the new toys and technology. And, of course, app developers galore with all the cool new apps for your iOS, your Android, all those things. So we're going to be there, and we'll cover that and bring you all the cool stuff from E3.
You don't have time for more than 50 friends?
No, I don't. I'm too busy.
You don't even have time for more than 3 friends.
I ignore everybody.
Last weekend, you had a barbecue impromptu, and you invited everybody but me.
They weren't invited. They invited themselves.
Oh, I'm supposed to invite myself?
Yeah, you can invite yourself to my house anytime.
Anyway, there's another app out there. We're not really an app. It's a service called Path.
P-A-T-H.
Yeah, it's Facebook-ish in that it lets you connect with your friends and all that kind of thing. But they have one rule that's a little bit different. You're limited to 50 friends.
Interesting.
Because really, who needs more than 50?
Yeah, we'll see if that works for them. Hey, still ahead, speaking of friends and amounts of people, does size really matter? If you think it doesn't, you probably don't use Facebook. This is the Data Doctors radio program. Hey, if you've spent any time listening to the Data Doctors radio program, you already know how important and critical antivirus software is.
Well, you know how important and critical everything we say is.
Absolutely. So if you're a Mac or PC user and you've gotten lazy, your renewal notice pops up, you go click ignore, and then you wind up with a problem, well, that's the number one reason people just like you come into stores for help.
You got to get that thing protected. And don't ignore. Don't keep putting it off. Don't delay.
Ignore doesn't help. Data Doctors Quality Care Secure is the answer. Your antivirus never expires. If you have computer issues, you're just a small copay away from getting them solved. Never have a big repair bill ever again. That's the beauty of Quality Care. Data Doctors Quality Care has plans starting at just $8.95 a month, so there's a plan that fits your needs. Go to any Data Doctors location or datadoctors.com and click Quality Care.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
Did you know? 1 in 3 smartphone users wakes up in the middle of the night to check email, and nearly half have left a meeting to answer a call. We've got all the stats, datadoctors.com/radio.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
Data Doctors Radio Program.
And speaking of smartphones, did you know that they are bad for your health?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. Earlier this week, we were on NBC talking about this.
And when you say we, you mean you.
Well, we, the Royal We, Data Doctors.
Us is.
Us.
By the way, wake up in the middle of the night to check email? Who's doing that?
I don't know anyone who's ever done that.
Oh, you are horrible. You are a horrible, horrible person.
I sleep with my iPhone next to the bed.
Why would you do such things?
It's my alarm clock in the morning.
Get an alarm clock.
I don't like alarm clocks.
Oh, man. What's... No.
They're not flexible.
No wonder you... Oh, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say, no wonder your wife won't. But then I had to cut myself short.
Sleep in the bedroom. Yes, you're right.
Or whatever.
Yeah. But I don't do it. I'm not nearly as bad as I used to be. You know that because you...
Put it in the other room, man.
But how is it going to wake me up?
Plug it into your computer so it can sync and charge and do all that in your office in the other room with the door closed.
And then how is it going to wake me up?
Get an alarm clock.
I don't like alarm clocks. They don't play music.
Then let your dogs into the room and they'll wake you up. I mean, I don't know, man. Figure that out.
Well, anyway, so let's go back to why we
started
talking about
smartphones.
Why they're
bad for health? Because they wake you up in the middle of the night is one reason why, but go ahead.
The other reason is that the WHO, not WHO as in the group, the World Health Organization, says that they're pretty confident that cell phones cause brain cancer.
And they cause you to wake up in the middle of the night for 33% of you.
Right, which will cause you to have sleep deprivation and brain cancer.
So they're as bad, apparently, as lead, chloroform, car exhaust. They're in this category of they're bad, but, you know, they're not as bad as, like, jumping off of a building.
Yeah, that's pretty instantaneous. This is a slow...
Yeah, this is a slow cook. And they actually say maybe it's a little bit more like a microwave where it's it cooks tissue.
Hmm.
But they're not quite 100% sure, and more studies need to be done, blah, 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 blah. The real question, does this change? I mean, do you stop using a cell phone?
No.
Do you use a cell phone and only put it on speakerphone and set the phone halfway across the room when you talk on it?
Yeah, that's really annoying when you're in a room with other people.
Right. Do you, for a guy like you, you keep it in your shirt pocket in the front, right above your heart, basically.
Yep.
You're cooking your heart. Do you move it to your pocket?
Yeah, but then you're cooking other things.
Right, but those things you need less than you need your heart. Last I checked, you have one heart, but you have two legs. So you can put it in your pants pocket, right? You have two buttocks, so you could put it in the back pocket, front
And then when
pocket.
You sit on it, you can bring it to get fixed and have a radiation shield
do
put
you,
on it.
Do you get one of the Bluetooth deals to stick in your ear?
But the Bluetooth is some sort of a transmitter as well.
But is it a weaker transmitter?
Yeah, I don't know. This is not a game changer for me. Remember, the World Health Organization is also the same organization that says working nights causes cancer.
Well, waking up three times in the middle of the night to check your freaking email, I'm sure causes all kinds of stuff beyond cancer.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, is this one of those, well, I mean, everything is going to probably shorten up your life, but people smoke, people drink, people do all kinds of things that they know aren't the healthiest. People text and drive. I'm sure that's going to cause something worse than cancer if you keep it up, right?
Yeah.
People still do these things. I don't know if it's going to change habits.
I don't think it's going to change habits. People still eat double bacon cheeseburgers, even though they know that they cause heart attacks.
Big story, though.
Yeah, it is a huge story.
Kind of crazy.
It is. Hey, if you got a question for the show, hit us up, facebook.com/datadoctors, and you can just post it to the wall.
And rolling right along on the smartphone topic, did you hear the rumor?
Which rumor? That Steve Jobs is buying the world?
No, he's not buying the world.
Oh, okay.
Not quite enough dough for that yet.
Okay.
You're thinking of Microsoft. Anyway, Microsoft, speaking of Microsoft, they're maybe acquiring Nokia.
Oh, smart move.
Nokia, right? So Nokia, you probably haven't seen their phones in a long time because, well, they somehow missed the boat with the whole smartphone thing, and people want either smartphones or really high feature phones, and they make great hardware, but their Achilles heel has always been the software side of the equation. And they recently just decided to ditch their old Symbian platform, which was sort of the thing that some of the Palm devices and things were built on, in favor of teaming up with Microsoft to use the operating system, the Windows Phone 7 operating system, inside of their handsets. And so people are speculating because of talks and things. And of course, Nokia is denying, and Microsoft's doing the typical, we don't comment on speculations and rumors. And but there's supposedly some guys who have been pretty good at predicting Nokia things in the past, who say that Microsoft not only is looking to buy it, there's a price that's been settled on, $19 billion. $19 billion.
That's a lot of dough.
So it begs the question, is this, let's assume for a minute it's not a rumor, it's true. Is this good for Nokia? Well, probably. I mean, they need to be resurrected, right?
This is putting paddles to the chest of Nokia and putting adrenaline in their veins.
Clear.
Yeah. And they're back to life.
Is it good for Microsoft? Because last time I checked, Microsoft tried to get in the phone hardware business a while back with something called the Kin.
Pound fail.
I think they sold 700 of them.
Maybe.
700 of them. Right. So that didn't go so well. They killed the project. They spent a couple years, research, development, all this stuff, got it to market, and nobody cared.
Yeah. I think this is a great thing for Microsoft because it's a hardware-software pairing. You know, they are good at the software side of things, incredibly good at that. I can't believe I just said that. Oh, shoot, man.
I love it.
Nokia, incredibly good and brilliant at the hardware side of it. You put those two things together. I mean,
they're already together. I mean, they already have an agreement. They're already working together. So how does it make it better to have them under one flag?
Let's call it Apple.
Let's call it Apple.
Apple does that. It's Apple is the hardware software manufacturer, and it works really well for them. I think this is a game changer because if this happens, Apple should take notice of this.
So what if you're HTC, you're LG, you're Dell, you're one of the other manufacturers that makes the hardware that licenses the software from Microsoft to put in a device? I mean, all these guys have their own Windows Phone 7 things. Are you maybe a little threatened by this?
I'm not only pissed, but I'll probably file a lawsuit to stop it because then they'll say it's a monopoly and they can't do that. But it's not a monopoly, and it's not going to stop. And I think this is a brilliant move for both of them.
I don't know. Rumor or not rumor, who knows? We've got the links, the details, the facts, the fiction, the whatever. All of it at datadoctors.com/radio.
Still ahead. First, it was Roku, now Hulu. Lots of companies are getting cozy with Netflix. Can this actually be the end of DVDs? Remember, all the links to everything we're talking about online at datadoctors.com/radio. We are your source for all things tech. Got a question for the program? You can always post it to the wall during the show, facebook.com/datadoctors.
Or try our toll-free number, 888-545-1988.
That was a very good year.
This is the Data Doctors radio program. Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
And welcome to the best technology resource across the country, the Data Doctors radio program. You can jump in anytime if you have a question for the show. Toll free, 888-545-1988. Earlier in the show, we told you about Google's answer to Groupon and Twitter's new role as mainstream. It's Spanky and Brandon, and here's what's going on in the world of technology right now.
For weeks, we've been talking about malware, and of course, Google's been listening. Also, you know about Twitter's photo service, but there's another trick up their sleeve, and Steve Jobs has got his head in the clouds.
Data Doctors radio program.
And we did talk about Twitter. What is the second trick up their sleeves?
They're launching a cool new little button. Like the like button you're starting to see pop up all over the web?
Is it like or is it like?
It's similar to like, which is like.
Right? Kind of, like.
Left. It's called the follow button.
Now, Twitter's a little late to the dance, though. They're second doing this, not first.
They've had a button for a while, which is the tweet button, which lets you, as a Twitterer, it lets you quickly sort of link to that site with one click, and it shortens the URL and lets you type in you're up to 140 characters minus the shortened URL, right?
Right.
So that's cool, but they haven't had the like idea. And when the like idea first hit, there was a ton of people going, well, what? This doesn't make any sense. I don't get it, because like was something you did on Facebook, and people never thought, they couldn't figure out how it would make sense. And we jumped on real early with that, and I remember we actually got featured in an article because we jumped on early, and people went, these guys are high tech. They're with it. They understand it. And we were trendsetters.
And we liked that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, but the follow is really interesting. So rather than have to tweet about something, what if you just want to follow the people behind the site, behind the blog, behind the whatever you're at? This makes it quick and easy without having to go and click on them and go in and then click. I mean, it just takes away all the steps.
So what this does is if your brand has a website, if your company has a website, or if you personally have a website and you are a tweeter, that follow button lives right on your page. It lives right on your website. It lives on your blog. And it's just another button. It's just like the Facebook follow button. It's the Twitter follow button.
Right.
So
it's like, but not like.
It's like, but kind of not like. So it doesn't direct you back to Twitter.com anymore to follow the tweets. So you don't have to go off of the website to start following somebody.
It's almost like, think of it like this, right? When you're at a website and you want to create a quick bookmark to remember that site, well, this is the equivalent for Twitter. You want to quickly just tag, I want to follow this person, but I want to stay here doing what I'm doing. So it's one click, keep doing what you're doing, and now they're in your Twitter stream.
Now, if you have a website, though, I think this is going to do something really good, though. I think this is going to encourage people to put more follow us links, you know, like links, and because it's gonna not encourage them to go off the page. It's not going to redirect them to Twitter or Facebook like it had in the past, and that's why Facebook did this. It keeps people inside that brand.
Right, that's why it works, right? The like button on our site, when I put it there, it's a quick way for somebody to like something, aka like the brand, which broadcasts to their friends and their family and their stream, right?
Like us, but don't leave us.
But don't leave us. Exactly.
And that's the way
this works. You just thought of that, didn't you?
I did, just in the moment. this is a huge game changer for Twitter, and I think that's what's going to help Twitter go mainstream.
That's like three or four things in the last couple of weeks that are individually, none of them are huge, but you start to look and you step back and you say, God, they really are making this thing more user-friendly.
Yeah. Hey, if you have a question anytime during the program, even if it's about something we're talking about, we're live right now, datadoctors.com/radio. Excuse me, facebook.com/datadoctors.
Either one.
You can't interface.
One links to the other and vice versa.
It's like a happy little thing.
So Twitter has that that follow button that they're going to throw out there. And,
yep.
And we already know Facebook has the like. But will Google and Twitter impact Facebook's like button? Will they take away from that? Or is it a whole different thing that doesn't matter?
You know, I don't think it's going to take away from it, but the Google plus one versus Twitter follow, what's plus one mean?
The plus one is weird, right? So I don't know that I've spoken to anybody that's not got their head inside a tech every day that even gets what the plus one is or know that it exists or know what it does. I mean, people, the like, they universally know what that is. They
right.
know it the minute they see it.
Like, easy. Follow, easy. Plus one, I don't get it.
It's like a little voting system, I think, is what they want, is you're going to add your plus one to whatever they already had.
Okay, but what if I want it to be a plus five? What if I am such an avid fan of brand XYZ?
Yeah, you either
plus one's not enough.
It's but like you either like it or you don't, right? So you don't not like it. It's a pass or fail.
And that's where Google again doesn't understand social. I wouldn't have called it plus one. I would have called it tag along. Google tag along.
Slap it.
It sounds friendly. It sounds social. Plus one sounds mechanical. It sounds utilitarian. Not totalitarian, utilitarian.
I'll call up Eric Schmitz.
Yeah, you know
who
him.
Admitted he made a mistake and tell him, hey, plus one, dumb.
You made another mistake.
We've got a better idea for you.
Absolutely. Which leads us into this segment of the show. It's time for Geek Speak
of the Week.
That's Geek Speak.
Geek Speak.
Geek Speak
of the Week.
We got to stop doing this. He's going to drive Ken nuts when he comes back.
Yeah.
This week's Geek Speak. It's a little piece of vernacular, a little piece of tech talk.
Geek speak.
Now I know how he feels.
Go ahead.
He's got the spiel down when he does Geek Speak. I don't. This week's Geek Speak of the Week is DNS poisoning.
DNS poisoning.
Poisoning. It's not like rat poison, but it's slightly like rat poison. DNS poisoning is a way of forcing a user to a malicious site. And what it does is it injects basically bad information into the domain name server's cache. That's a high-tech word for how the website points to stuff.
Right. So everything on the internet is made up of numbers, but people, not so good with numbers. You
not
think
good.
About phone numbers when they were 7 digits, maybe. When they were 10, oh, you're really pushing it, but man, we're out of control. And so internet numbers, just too much for humans. And so we get friendly names like datadoctors.com, which a DNS server has to translate to 69.28.134. You know, it's a little bit nutty. And so there's a mechanism, if the DNS servers aren't secured and they're not patched and all that kind of thing, that they can be poisoned, aka redirect people to different places other than when they're supposed to.
Right.
That's DNS poisoning. What do you do with that information? I have no idea, but
now you know what it is. So if it ever happens to you, DNS poisoning, by the way, is also sometimes referred to as farming. Just so you know.
Farming. Still ahead, we've got a sneak peek of Windows 7. We've got it
8.
Online. Plus, next on the Data Doctors radio program. I don't know what I just said. I screwed that all up.
It's okay. Remedial English ahead for Brandon Disney. And if you've spent any time listening to this program, you know how important antivirus software is. You know, you got lazy, though, and your renewal notice pops up and you ignored it. Does it sound familiar to you?
Yeah, it sounds like Remedial English to me.
Remedial English. It's the number one reason people just like you come into our stores for help. And with Data Doctors Quality Care Secure, you won't have that problem because your antivirus never expires.
We can help you with the antivirus, not so much with the English.
And if you have any computer issues, you're only a small copayment away from getting them solved. Imagine never having a big repair bill ever again. That's the beauty of Quality Care. It's like a health care policy for the health of your PC. Data Doctors Quality Care. With plans starting at just $8.95 a month, there's a Quality Care plan to fit your needs. Stop by any Data Doctors location or go to datadoctors.com and click Quality Care.
And ask them to teach you English.
Delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Listen up, all you Android phone users, because you'll want to check this out. We've got a list of malicious apps that Google has pulled from the marketplace. Get the list and make sure you don't have any of those apps on your Android phone at datadoctors.com/radio.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Steve Jobs rolling out a whole new service, and somehow we know about it before he's announced it.
Which is very un-Apple.
Very un-Apple. It's the iCloud that's been speculated to be forthcoming from Apple for a while now. The idea being the Mobile Me service that already exists out there for Apple users, mediocre service.
It was great when it first started.
And it's a great idea. I think it's one of those things that they, rather than build a house from scratch, they tried to remodel a house, and it just never quite works the way it should, and there's things that are funky about it, and people rely on it to do backup, but it's really not. It wasn't designed to that. It was designed to sync. And so they've sort of started from scratch, built something totally new, centered around your media, first starting with your music. So you have tons and tons of music. Some of it you acquired by buying it from the iTunes store. Some of it you acquired by taking your old discs and sticking them in your computer and ripping them. And some of it you acquired through, less legal sources, let's just say.
I would never do anything like that.
Sure. So The tough part about having all this music and all this media is you've got a smartphone, right? You've got your computer that's in the living room, and you've got your computer that's in your office, and you've got your one at work, and you've got all these
iPad,
devices.
Your Zoom, all these different things.
Right. How do you, it's not easy to get this stuff shared amongst all those things, and once you bought it, you have the ability and the right and the legality, is that right? No, it's not right.
The legal means, the legal precedence.
You should be able to use it on
all
these
things.
It's
your stuff.
It's just not so simple.
Right.
So the iCloud is designed to make it simple by taking that media and sticking it in the cloud. And you think, well, that's kind of odd. Well, but wait a second. It gets a little bit easier. So first, some of your devices are limited in their storage space. And so getting it to the cloud helps overcome that issue, number one. Number two, it's not just to live there. It's just one of the places it can live. But they're doing something a little bit different than the other guys that are out there doing this, or at least this is what people are guessing. It's speculation at this point, but generally these things come true. Part of what they're doing is you already have a music library of all these songs, and it could take days and days to get all that music uploaded to the cloud, and that's something that a lot of people don't want to have to go through. Well, Apple, because they're a little bit late to the game, they say that they've been going about this the right way by getting permission from some of the record labels to allow you to have that music just checked against a database of all the music they have and just instantly enable it for you. So that's kind of a huge time saver. The other thing is the idea here is it's not just the stuff you've purchased from them, which is different from some of the other guys out there in this same space. It's everything you own, your entire music library. So there's a couple of kind of game changers that are there.
Yeah. Now, Brandon, you know, you said there's some speculation and rumor. Let me just clarify that there is no speculation about this. Earlier last week, talked to some of my Apple insiders, and before it was public, they confirmed for me that Apple bought the iCloud.com domain for $4.5 million, and the DNS transfer happened this week.
Yeah, I think it actually happened on the 1st of June.
Yeah.
So what's not speculation is that they're announcing iCloud, that they own iCloud, that they bought the name, all those things.
But, for $4.5 million.
But what is speculation is exactly how the service will work, some of the features, if pricing on it, you know, that kind of stuff. But if it follows along with what they've done in the past and usually predictions with stuff when it comes to Apple, usually people are pretty good at predicting that. Most people are saying it's going to cost about $100 a year, which is pretty close to in line with what you pay for Microsoft's Zune Pass, which, you know, Kevin, who works here, has a Zune Pass, loves it, has a new Windows 7 phone, loves it, loves the way it works and it syncs. So this is a similar kind of service, or Rhapsody or Napster or one of those that are out there.
And
very similar.
And they're still working on, as of doing this radio program, they're still working on movie deals. They have a couple things locked down, a couple things not. So this is going to be a pretty robust service, but we don't know what it looks like yet, and we're going to find that out next week.
There's a good shot that movies and TVs, if not at launch, very closely will follow. So TV shows and movies, very Netflix-ish, very Hulu-ish, those might be a part of the subscription as well, where you can stream that stuff.
More better content. If you've got a question for the program anytime, it's a toll-free call, 888-545-1988. Folks, if you don't have four browsers on your computer, you're not a technologist.
You need four browsers now?
Yeah. Well,
I say you need two.
You need
the one that came with it, which is already there. And
I
then
have four.
Pick your favorite number two and get that in there.
My favorite browser now has one out of eight people using it, and it's not Safari, because Safari is
shocker.
It's not a great browser. It's not. It's one of those Apple.
I bet you it's Internet Explorer.
Yeah, not even close.
If it only existed for your platform,
Google's Chrome.
So what's funny is you tout it as your favorite browser, but a month ago it wasn't.
I morphed very quickly. Here's what happened. I started using Chrome more on a daily basis, and as soon as I got my paws into it and started really digging into it, I realized how superior this browser is.
So why would people switch?
I mean, first of all, I've
already got whatever, the big blue E or the Safari, I got whatever came with it. Why do I care?
I can't get my wife's head out of this one. It's safer. It's more secure. And man, it is fast.
But people don't care about all that.
Safer, secure, maybe they don't care about. Fast, they do.
But how much? I mean, most people think when you say fast, okay, so it goes from I blink my eyes to a little less than a blink. I mean, how much faster
how
do you really need?
How many times are you sitting there waiting for a website to load and you're getting frustrated because it's just loading? Chrome is designed in a way that uses some back-end technology to start pushing the websites
you don't
as
know.
You type
You don't know
them.
Anything. You're making this up as
no,
you go. I can tell by your face.
I was reading this stuff.
Uh-huh.
I didn't understand it. That's why I asked in our data lab. I'm like, how does this work where it says you have to check this box? And what it does
is it
starts.
Did you ask Clayton?
I did ask
so
Clayton.
So you got an explanation like this. Well, if you take the square root of pi and divide that by the inverse proportional distance of the Earth distance from the Earth to the moon.
We started at breakfast and finished at dinner.
Yeah.
So it was a great explanation, but you should always have more than one browser on your computer, whether it's a Mac or PC, because here are some of the benefits. You have a problem with your browser. You go to load a website, doesn't load properly. How do you know if it's the browser? How do you know if it's your computer? How do you know if it's the website? You launch your next browser, you try it. Oh, the problem's fixed. Well, then you go back to that other browser. You can clear your cache. You can get things working again. So there are reasons you want to have more than one browser. I do have four. Safari, which I don't
use.
You
are out of control.
I have Safari, which I don't use. Uh-huh. Firefox, which has some add-ons that I like.
Why don't you get rid of Safari if you don't use it?
Because you can't delete it.
Wait a minute. Microsoft got sued because you couldn't get rid of it in Explorer. Oh, I had to fix that.
Maybe,
but
maybe you can. I haven't tried that. You know, I'm going to try that in the break. Some real benefits, and I do have Opera.
Just ahead, ever run out of juice on your smartphone? Is solar the answer?
If you have an iPhone, you're always running out of juice.
Also, who's in bed with Hulu?
Not my wife. She doesn't like watching
this
Hulu.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
All the things we talk about are live right now, datadoctors.com/radio. And if you have a question for the show, you can always call us toll-free, 888-545-1988, or post it on our wall, facebook.com/datadoctors. And we'll do our best to make it a part of the show.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors Radio Program.
Oh, everyone's climbing into bed with Hulu these days. Miramax is the next candidate.
If I'm in bed with my wife and Hulu, am I having a threesome? Is that a TV threesome?
A Three's Company.
What if I have Netflix on my laptop, Hulu on the TV?
I'm so glad you brought up Netflix, because that just leads us right in. You know, in the last couple of weeks, Brandon, we've been talking about Netflix announced a similar deal.
A similar deal to what?
With Miramax.
The getting big studios on board with throwing movies.
They're bringing these movies because the content, they've run out of good content.
Yeah, you know? I used to. So I have a TiVo device, and not the other DVR, the original DVR, right? And we had a Netflix account that we got so we could stream junk to the TiVo, and it was cool for, I don't know, 6 months or so until we realized we watched everything we care about, and not so much anymore.
And then you're done.
Yeah, and I was thinking about the Hulu Plus thing, because they've got a lot more TV, and now they're starting to get more movies, and I don't know, maybe check it out.
Well, I may steer you a little bit on that. So they're going to be offering now commercial-free HD films through Hulu Plus.
Not with limited commercial interruption?
Not with... This program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption for $8 a month.
I actually don't mind the way that they do their limited commercial interruption, because they do like a big commercial at the beginning. And the way they do it, actually, it works way better than traditional old school TV for me.
Micro spots is what I call them.
Yeah, they're not bad.
They're small. You know, the problem with any of these technologies, as far as I'm concerned, is they're still very, I don't know, for lack of a better word, internet-ish.
They're still a little too nerdy.
They're like, crude.
Like my wife kind of dug it, and she doesn't normally, but it was because it worked through the TiVo, and you didn't have to have a special thing. So I think part of it is the way you get it has to be comfortable. It has to be a set-top box you're comfortable with. If you have to plug something else in, I think, a little too weird for people still.
Yeah, so we have, several weeks back, we talked about trying to migrate my family from the satellite dish to Hulu Plus using the Roku box.
Your idea was to like eliminate satellite eventually?
Ultimately, I would love to see if our family could survive television-wise.
That sounds silly. Could my family survive?
No, you know what I mean.
A special episode.
We have five children.
Mactastic guy.
Five children.
Five children. In a world.
And between the Dora the Explorers and the...
Can they survive?
All the Disney stuff. Stop, you dork. Anyway,
could you survive?
I'm living with the Roku. We get Hulu Plus, and it's it's $8 a month. The couple of problems. Number one, the interface still isn't great. You can't just go to your quote channel the way you normally did on TV.
But don't you just search like you do? I mean, you just want to watch this show, and you go get it.
It's not as easy. It's just I've even found. It took me 5 or 6 minutes one night to find a program that I wanted. I'm going, wow, if I'm getting frustrated looking for a program.
No wonder Allison hates it.
Yeah, it's not the greatest. So, and the other issue, and we discovered this the other day when my son was trying to watch a movie. And some of the movies on there, you can't filter.
What do you mean you can't filter?
Well, you can filter channels.
Okay.
so you can block certain channels.
You can't say anything rated PG-13 or higher. Let's nix that unless you have a secret code.
Unless I missed some super secret setting in the Roku, I don't have a way of doing that. And so
let me Google that for you.
Would you please? And so there are a couple of challenges and struggles with using those devices. And I'm sure it's going to get better. And over time, it'll be kind of like the way we used to watch TV.
You know, on the filtering thing, maybe it's time for your kids to just get the education.
Yeah.
Maybe you're being too sensitive.
Maybe they should. Maybe it's just time for my MacTastic tip.
Not that MacTastic.
It's pretty good.
I give it a solid C.
Each week at this time, I, MacTastic Guy, follow me on Twitter, MacTastic Guy, bring you my MacTastic tip. If you're a Mac user, you know it's all about personalization. It's about customizing the user experience.
Isn't that about everybody's thing? It's not just the Mac guy.
Mac users are more so.
Yeah, whatever.
We're more militant about it.
Go ahead.
So when you get your Mac, it has these generic icons for your hard drive.
I call them elitist icons. Go ahead.
Yes. If you want to change the icons on your MacBook.
Make them more elitist.
Any of your Mac. Make them more elitist. There's a way to do it. Now, you definitely want to go and see my MacTastic Tip video on YouTube. YouTube.com/DataDoctors.
This is much more visual.
Yeah, this is a super visual one. But here's all you got to do. You choose the image you want to use as your icon. You open it up in preview. Copy it, Command C. Then you open the hard drive by doing Command I. So you want
to. You've already got too many steps.
I know, there's too many steps. So it's a really visual thing, but all you have to do is paste that picture right into the hard drive and it replaces the icon.
And the copying and the pasting and the selecting and the opening, there's a lot of steps, but we made it really, really dumb simple.
What's this we crap?
Well, we as in you.
Me and my people.
So, and don't get confused. We talk about all kinds of different URLs. If you have to remember one, they'll get you to everywhere, datadoctors.com/radio. It has links to everything we talk about, has links to the Facebook page, has links to YouTube, has links to everything. So.
And we even have a special link there this week. If you're new to smartphones or tablets, we've got a list of essential apps that you just got to have. Killer stuff.
Good stuff.
Earlier in the program, we talked about Facebook. They're the biggest, baddest photo collection on the web. Did you know that? They're bigger than everybody.
Wait a minute. There's specialty photo sharing sites that are bigger than that?
Nope. They're not. They have the largest collection on the web. And 10% of those pictures are profile photos.
Wow.
We've got a great infographic at datadoctors.com/radio. And it's also a great place to back up your images. Think about that.
Still ahead, did you see the funniest condom commercial ever? Protection is important, especially from this one. This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
And if you don't have protection, you've probably had computer problems.
This isn't a condom commercial.
No, it's a computer commercial.
Oh.
Listen, when your computer goes and it makes all sorts of noises and fails.
I hope it doesn't make that noise.
Don't be a slave to your technologies. These things exist to make life easy, make things work for us.
It's supposed to be your slave.
Yeah, exactly. Not you the slave. So when your computer acts up, don't let it mess up your day. At Data Doctors, our team of computer experts can take your pain away fast. We can speed up your computer, network your office. Did you know we do that?
Yeah, we put you in charge again.
You are the boss of your technology. And we'll show you how to back up your critical data. And if you lose everything because you didn't follow our advice, we can get that back too. We've got locations around the country. There's a store near you. Just go to datadoctors.com and type in your zip code. That's datadoctors.com and type your zip code.
Sony confirms the existence of PlayStation 4. In other news, the hackers, well, they already knew that.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
Data Doctors Radio Program.
That's a lot of button pushing you got going on over there.
Hey, Fast Fingers, Scav Center. Should I do that again? Hold on a second. We have the technology to stop that. Let me stop that right there.
You can fade.
No, I'm not going to fade. I'm just going to cold stop it. Scam Center. Much better. Did you see the funniest commercial ever for condoms this week?
No.
It was on Facebook.
I've been like talking about it as if I have, but no, I haven't.
Yeah, it was on Facebook this week, and unfortunately, it wasn't real. It was a like-jacking scam. And that happened to my wife this week, too, but I can't say what the video was.
Wait,
because
why were you going to click on a condom? Why?
Because
because you wanted to supposedly see this.
A friend said, this is the funniest condom commercial ever. And, of course, I believe it.
So the friend didn't actually say it. The friend clicked just like you did, which told all his friends.
Like-jacked. Yeah, they click-jacked, like-jacked.
I think I know someone who made reference to this, and she was apologizing for it and saying it wasn't me, as likely as that would have been.
Right. So okay. So that's what happened this
same
week.
Same person.
There are a few of these that happened this week. This was one of the bigger ones. And so this was a big scam. Hit a lot of people. Look, folks, when you see these things, just you can't do it from your mobile device because the apps don't allow you to do this. But go to a laptop, go to your desktop, and just hit the little blue X on the post.
It's
on
like
Facebook.
In the top right, yeah.
Top right hand corner, and you can have block this user, delete this post, mark it as spam. You mark it as spam, very quickly, Facebook will take care of that.
Yeah, if enough people do that, you can kind of crowdsource and help them figure out this is garbage, and they'll reverse the effects. And, you know, don't just ignore it. Don't if you're going to tell the person, hey, by the way, I think you got hacked, do everybody a favor and mark it as spam too.
And we've got a link to that. And remember, all the links to everything we're talking about, they're live right now, datadoctors.com/radio. It's one place to click. It has everything we talk about and some of the stuff we don't get to during the show.
It's like bonus stuff.
Exactly.
Are mobile solar chargers worth it?
Oh, man, I could use one right now.
Well, you need to have the sun because we're in a dark cave because that's the way we roll.
Yeah, we, because I sleep with my iPhone on the...
And check it three nice times day. A night for your
yeah.
email.
I wake up in the morning and I have the red bar of death. It needs juice.
So the solar things, we've seen these things, right? They either attach to the dash in your car or wherever you got the sunlight, and they're supposed to recharge your phone. Do these things actually work?
Yeah, so I have used a couple of solar chargers over the last few years. The initial solar chargers, they kind of weren't that great.
They're kind of like those slow charge battery charger deals for your car that as long as you got overnight to wait, sure.
Yeah,
but who has that kind of time?
Trickle chargers. You know, they were very, very slow. They've gotten better. They've gotten better. They're great for emergencies. Think of it as topping off if you're running out of gas on the freeway and you've got 50 miles to go to get to the nearest gas station. It's like having an emergency gas can in your back pocket.
So it may not maybe recharge as much as you could talk on the phone or use the phone while it's plugged in and maybe slow down the discharging.
Yeah, and it gives you a little extra time. So if you had an emergency and your phone was dead and you had this with you, you're not totally out in the dark. You have a way to connect.
What about this scenario?
What scenario?
I'm on another planet. I need to extend the life of my cell phone because I forgot my charger, and B, even if I had remembered it, I don't have a place to plug into.
What planet would you be on?
Uranus? Maybe not.
Okay. Anyway. How about the moon?
Yeah, maybe the moon.
Okay.
Maybe I'm on a moon somewhere. Anyway, there's no electrical outlet.
Correct.
I guess there's no cell phone coverage, so never mind. Forget I said anything.
But you have really good Wi-Fi.
You do?
Yes, because you have your lunar lander right next to you, which is connected to Verizon.
On the moon?
Can you hear me now?
No.
Well,
speaking of Verizon, and can you hear me now? And so Verizon, their whole famous, can you hear me now? Well, apparently they're thinking that you can be heard even 6 feet under.
Yeah, so they had a customer who, unfortunately, like everybody, didn't get off this earth alive. And
he wasn't on the moon.
Yeah, and, they didn't stop billing her. Betty Howard, who passed away, kept getting phone bills. Initially, Verizon sent her a $110 bill for missed payments on her internet service, and then there was residential, and then there was mobile. Anyway, Verizon tried to work out a deal with the family, but then they turned it over to a collection agency.
No, they didn't.
I would hate to be the collection agent who bought that and has to pay for that bad debt that's never going to get repaid because the woman is dead. And it's not like it's a big bill at this point. It's minor.
Yeah. Hey, you know how guys never want to ask where something's at? You know, you're in a store and you're looking for, you're looking for hammers. Where's the hammers at? No.
I will cruise the aisles for hours before I ask someone where something is.
Well, part of it's that maybe you're in a store you dig and You just want to walk around Home Depot.
Or part of it maybe because I'm away from the noise at my house.
Oh.
And there's no children with me.
So there's an app for that. Well, sort of. You know how we have mapping apps that work out in the world to help us find your buddy's house or find the store you want to get to? But the problem is you get to the store, and what about finding the item you want within the store? Well, there's a company, it's got an odd name, they'll have to fix that part of it, but it's called Kitty Swing, and it's KDDI Swing. Don't worry, we've got a link for you, datadoctors.com/radio. The app is designed to work with some of the major retailers, and they have to install a tiny bit of technology inside, but it knows the inside of the store, it knows where things are laid out, it knows not just where the hardware department is, but where stuff is, and you can search within a store, and it gives you not a map in the traditional sense. It's more like one of those little pointer deals that points the arrow in the right direction. And as you walk, it starts like, you know, like, hey, you're getting hotter, colder.
So it's kind of like a GPS in that without the annoying chick voice saying, turn right in 5 feet.
You think she's annoying? I love that voice.
If you've been in the car with some of my friends who don't know how to drive, yes.
I love that voice.
You've missed your turn. You've missed your turn.
She doesn't sound anything like that.
Well, the one in my friend's car she's British.
Yeah.
And she's annoying British.
Well, who is the cell phone? Catherine Zeta-Jones. Oh, that's the voice we need.
That's not an annoying Brit.
Right. Why don't we get that
voice?
That's
because she's not British. I think she's like New Zealandish.
It's Kiwi.
She's a Kiwa. Anyway, great little app. Very cool. And you can start seeing it at a major retail near you soon. Walmart, Home Depot, things like that.
Absolutely. There's lots of stuff we didn't get a chance to get to today, but have no fear. We've got the links to everything we talked about and more. datadoctors.com/radio.
And remember, if you get stuck with your technology, your hard drive starts clicking, or you drop your laptop in the pool, we can help. Just click datadoctors.com and type in your zip code for the Data Doctors store nearest you.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.